We're turning again to the book of Proverbs today, the chapter 11. We're jumping ahead a little, and we may go backward in the future, but there is a message here I believe is for today. We're going to read Proverbs 11, and I think we'll read the chapter through. Proverbs 11, beginning at verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. That's a nice word, isn't it, boys and girls? Naughtiness. Have you heard that word before? I don't think you'll be very old until you will hear that word. It's a word that you're going to have to learn. Verse 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. I want you to suppose that you get a knock at your door, and when you answer the door, you find to your dismay, it's a salesperson, unashamed, wearing a badge, sales rep for something or other. And contrary to your normal policy, you don't wriggle your way out of the conversation and close the door. You start to listen. And contrary to normal policy, you start to get interested in what this person is actually selling. And contrary to all normal, common thoughts about buying stuff from salesmen at your door, you get really interested. And before long, you're signing the dotted line. And you're signing up for a product, a purchase, some commodity that suddenly you have been talked into. Now, right now you're thinking, what a dumb thing that would be. But what if this product or this service the person is representing turns out to be a life-changing commodity and becomes the very thing that really does make a vast difference in your life? Whether it is some health food, some convenience, appliance, and it's the thing that you never imagined before, but you have in your care, and it has made all the difference. You would look back to that time at the door, and you would bless the one who came representing this product and selling it to you. That experience would be a bit like the person who has never ever heard the gospel, maybe in a third world country, a language that is just being learned, and people show up to speak about the power of Calvary and the work of the gospel. Now, at first, those people would see these as intruders to prey upon their way of life. But if they come to understand the gospel and what the Lord Jesus can do for them, there would come a time when they would bless the day that these representatives or missionaries came and sought them out and gave them the very good news of the gospel. And this is how we are to view the subject of soul winning. Now, soul winning in the modern day context of evangelistic campaigns is a most troublesome thing when it's looked upon as a machine, when it's looked upon as an organization, when it's looked upon as a well-oiled, slick, man-driven organization seeking to mass-produce a way of reaching men. They take their techniques from the marketing business world and they apply it to the work of the gospel. Now, this is not the biblical view of evangelism. And it's not the view of this text that I want to bring you to today. In verse 30 of this chapter in Proverbs 11, you are probably very familiar with the words of the second half, part B of the text. He that winneth souls is wise. I don't think of any Christian that wouldn't know those words. Now, whether we would have known they were to be found in Proverbs 11:30, That might have been another question, but you do know these words. He that winneth souls is wise. And you would agree with them right away. One of the wisest, best efforts that you could be involved in is to reach men with the gospel, whether it is in that third world country or in your neighborhood. But have you ever put part A and part B together in this text? Have you ever looked at what God is saying in the whole picture of this text? Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. You see, you can't get to part B until you have part A. You can't be a winner of souls until you are, firstly, a tree of life, a righteous person who is a tree of life. Now, this language, this idea of a tree of life comes up right in Genesis chapter 2, where you have in the garden, the midst of the paradise of God, before the fall, before sin came into the world, God put right in the center of the garden two particular trees that are mentioned. There's the tree of good and evil, of knowledge. That was forbidden. That was the tree that was to be the test of their obedience. The other tree was the tree of life. It was the tree that would nourish and be a blessing. It would bring them fellowship with God. Now that idea that you see in Genesis comes up again in Revelation. And there is a statement to the church of Ephesus. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And so this tree of life is blessing, it is God's fullness, it is communion with God in its highest degree. And then again in Revelation 22, you have this tree which is for the healing of the nations and the 12 tribes. And it is the picture of health and prosperity and great blessing. Now take that idea, which is consistent in the Bible, and take it here, inserted into verse 30 of Proverbs 11. The fruit or the reward of the righteous is a tree of life. You can be made a tree of life. You can be made this instrument of health and life and blessing, to be a winner of souls. But until God makes us that tree of life, how can we even begin to talk about being soul winners? And that gets us away from the idea of evangelism being a slick machine, when God needs Christ ones who are a tree of life. Now I want to talk to you about being a tree of life. Because if we are really serious about reaching men with the gospel, that's what every one of us here need to be. A tree of life. That's what God needs to make us. There's a number of things here that we must ponder, therefore. And you can be a tree of life by your standing in Christ's righteousness. The reference here is, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now would you stand up please, the person that is perfectly righteous. Would someone please declare that they are perfect before God? You have not sinned this week. You have not failed in any particular of a holy life. So how can any one of us here then claim to be this tree of life? The answer is that righteousness cannot be our own. It has to be the righteousness of another. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus. It is that objective righteousness of Christ. There is none of us righteous. There is only one who has lived a perfect, sinless life. There is only one who totally lived to such a standard that he satisfied the holy legal demands to God's infinite perfections. He's the only one who knew no sin. Every thought of the Lord Jesus was a holy thought. Every word of the Lord Jesus was a holy word. Every act of our Lord was a holy act. And even his arch-traitor Judas could find nothing in him, though just reason that he could betray him. Now this becomes the gospel to us. And it becomes the standing, I would call it the roots of the tree, if you will. Every tree needs roots. Every tree needs to be anchored, needs to be solidly fixed in the ground, or it will be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Or we will be blown about by every wind of doctrine. And as the tree needs to be anchored, this doctrine is our anchor. There's not one of us good enough to stand up before the world and say, you need to get saved and get right with God. Because as we point the finger at others, others will point the finger at us and say, well, are you perfect? And we have to take the lowly position and say, no, we are failures, we are sinners. We have come short of the glory of God, but we have come to the recognition, the understanding of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus, that it is not only out there, but it has been imputed, placed upon us, that we as believers that have trusted in the Lord Jesus are now personally clothed in that perfect life of our Lord Jesus transferred to our account. And as God looks upon us, he sees the perfections of the Lord Jesus in us. Now I could take you to the book of Romans and go through the steps of this. Chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. Chapter 4, Abraham was justified by faith. That means declared righteous. Chapter 5, that by one man we are made righteous. And that his righteousness is imputed to our account. That's the gospel. But that's how we become a tree of life. That's how we become to a perishing world a living witness. This becomes our standing. Romans 8:1 goes on to say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because one of the things that will stop you from being a soul winner is your own sense of failure, your own unworthiness. And you look at your own life and you say, well, who am I to even tell someone else they need to get right with God? Who am I to say such a thing? We look at the cults and we see what they're doing. They have this supposed message, gospel message of works and perfection and do, do, do. And of course it's bondage and it's suicide, it's ruinous. We come with a message that we are only sinners sharing the message of hope that has saved us and made us right with God. And that makes us as the tree of life. That makes us to have this standing, this foundation in the very roots of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, until you come to a full comprehension of this, well, I say a fuller, a greater degree. I don't think any of us will fully comprehend this until we get to glory. But we need to be growing in it. We need to be enjoying this. We need to be making this our strong point of rejoicing every day as a Christian. And it will bring liberty to our souls. that now I can share this gospel with others who need to be set free. That your life will then become a tree of life. A second way, obviously, that will make you a tree of life is by your praying. Your praying. And the wonderful thing about this doctrine of the imputed righteousness of Christ is that the more you delight in that righteousness, which is from without, the more blessed you are within. The forgiven man and the man who is reconciled to his God will enjoy real fellowship in prayer. Because our praying now is not that I may be more forgiven. If you're praying like that, perhaps you're not even yet saved. That's how serious this is. If you're praying, Lord, I need to be more forgiven, that means that you have a salvation that's a salvation by increments. It's a salvation by stages. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is a finished work. It's a total package. And you come translated from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and you're saved by grace, and you are complete in Christ, complete in Him. Take your hymnal for a moment and turn to the hymn 449. This will give you a little bit of a diversion of tension here for a moment. 449, this wonderful hymn. Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I am now complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought, Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Now the only part of that which is future is the glory. The glory. Hallelujah. And this now becomes the grounds of our praying and the grounds of our fellowship with God. You see, if we're really going to pray, if you're really going to be in communion with God, you've got to get to the place where you are at peace with God. Where you are in union with the Lord. And that makes me think about another tree. Another tree the Lord Jesus spoke of where He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And really, when you think about it, the person who is the tree of life is the Lord Jesus. He's the tree of life of Genesis 2:9. He's the tree of life of Revelation 22. He's the tree of life. He is also the tree of Psalm 1, the blessed man. That tree that was planted by the rivers of water, his leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is really the only person who fulfilled that perfectly was the Son of God. And here in John 15 you have this picture of the vine and the branches in union to Christ. Now if we are going to be in measure, in some degree, a picture of the tree of life, we've got to be living in union with the Lord Jesus. We've got to be a branch attached to the vine, enjoying the life of the vine. It's as simple as that. And it's as difficult as that. There's no point in us talking about being evangelists and soul winners and having methods and schemes and ways of doing outreach to win souls if we are not living in union with the Lord Jesus. And when we are living in union with the Lord Jesus, then we can pray for souls that are dead in sin. Because John 15:7 says that if ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Ask what ye will. Ask for your neighbor. Ask for your family member. Ask for your community.
That reminds me of Psalm 2, where the Father said to the Son, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. But we can't ask unless we're abiding in the Lord Jesus. Now, if we be a people that are prayerless and careless, living in our own strength, we cannot be the tree of life in the place of prayer. And we need as a church an intercessory ministry for the souls of men. And we need a burden in prayer for the lost. We need tears of compassion for dying souls. You see, we could as a church spend money, and we do. At Christmas time we had printed and sent out 10,000 leaflets prior to Christmas. Put them inside, a company put them inside the newspapers, and they were delivered in this immediate area between here and Port Kells to about 176th Street and the boundary between here and Langley, Surrey Langley boundary. 10,000 homes. Now, that's a business approach. I have to say that to this point, we have not seen any result of that. And perhaps it's because there's no tree of life involved in it. It's a way of getting a message out. Perhaps God in the long term will do something with it. We trust He will. But you can do all of that without a burden. Without interceding, without asking. And so when we seek to win souls, what this text is saying, if we're going to follow this text, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and then, he that winneth souls is wise. Your prayer life can be a tree of life. Your prayer life becomes that instrument of God that He uses to draw men and win men to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I talked to my brother-in-law yesterday on the phone in Northern Ireland. His father has got a short time to live. He's got Lou Gehrig's disease. Can't talk anymore. His food is all liquid form now. It's hard to tell just how long he will be in this world. Hospitalized last week, got home again. How long, we don't know. His name is Albert Macaulay. He's a successful businessman who about 28 years ago dedicated 3 days a week to gospel work. Local evangelistic effort, knocking doors, giving out literature, inviting children to Sunday school, organizing buses, children's meetings, going into hospitals. A very energetic man, very soft-voiced man, and he would talk to anybody, ministers, priests, Roman Catholics. Right now he is no longer able to talk. He's writing notes and letters, sending Bibles to past employees, still seeking to give them the gospel. Albert Macaulay is also a man of prayer. His grandchildren know him as Praying Granddad. He's a man who has prayed for the work that he's doing. We can't do God's work and be a tree of life to win souls without a burden of prayer. We have to learn that the hard way sometimes. The next thing I would bring to your attention is that we need to actually witness. This text talks about winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. This is skillful work. Note the word winneth. Doesn't mean knock people over the head. Doesn't mean be rude or abrupt or nasty. Many synonyms could be used. Bring, draw, fetch, win. The skill, of course, is to lead the way A winner is someone who leads by example, by consistency, by showing the power of the gospel in your own heart, by personal excitement about the Lord. This is not negative evangelism with scare tactics, but it is the tree of life to which even the ungodly see the power of God and the grace of the gospel. Because after all, we are testaments known and read of all men. Now, the tree of life, while it provides everything for the soul of man, we know in the Garden of Eden that Satan didn't lead people to that tree, but he lured Eve to participate of the forbidden tree. And in this world, the carnal mind, the flesh, the sinful heart of man will always crave for that which is forbidden and which God says no to. But our witnessing is to be that life of reflecting the beauty, the good, the right, the honorable, the honest, the upright, the true and the godly. Now, in our bulletin, we've had some little excerpts of the life of Jonathan Goforth. In the things I've been reading about him, there was a Roman Catholic girl who was a servant in a home where he was staying. When she had some interaction with Mr. Goforth, she asked this question: is the face of Jesus like the face of Mr. Goforth? The man had something from God in his very countenance. The man had lived in such fellowship with God that that Roman Catholic girl who had the wrong ideas of religion could see a man that was living in fellowship with God. He truly was to her a tree of life in his witness, in her interactions with him. I think that too much of evangelism is on the side of the machine and not enough of the godliness of the people that are seeking to reach out with and for the Lord Jesus. Now, the media, the techniques of reaching people with to bring them to hear the gospel is not wrong when they are introduced to a people who are living as the tree of life. At some point, whether it is at first or later, they are introduced to living Christians who have the life of the Lord Jesus. That becomes effective evangelism. And that becomes a real soul-winning ministry. The last thing I would say today is there must be fruit. Now, I know the word fruit in this text means reward. The fruit of the righteous, meaning the reward of the righteous, is a tree of life. But the rewards of the righteous man is that as he lives such a godly life, as he lives as this tree of life in fellowship with God, God will use him. And the greatest thing that can ever happen to a soul winner is to win a soul. It's like being a fisherman. The best thing that will ever happen to a boy who starts out to fishing is to actually catch a fish. There's nothing that will make him into a fisherman than to actually catch a fish. There's excitement in it. This works. And there's fruit in it. There's purpose. And likewise, when you go out and you live as a witness for the Lord and use your gifts and your talents and put your time and energy into reaching a soul for the Lord and you catch a fish, you're the instrument of God to bring a soul into fellowship with the living Christ. That'll hook you. That's the greatest thing that can happen to a Christian, is for God to use your life to lead a soul to the Lord Jesus. Now, mass evangelism cannot do that. It cannot do that without living Christians. Are you seeking today to be that tree? The point I'm making here, and the point that came to my heart so forcefully as I was brought to this text, and I must say that my burden was to come to these words, "He that wins souls is wise." But when I looked at the context, I looked at the whole verse together, the big picture of the verse, the big picture is that we must be a tree of life. And then we can be the instrument to win a soul. And this demands, of course, all the skill and all the ingenuity and all the best gifts that God may give us. It demands the wisdom from above. He that winneth souls is wise. And I think, too, if God gives us any success, we will say at the end that that wisdom came from the Lord. We still give Him the glory. The blessings are ours, but the glory is all His. I did mention on Wednesday evening that we're going to make this a serious matter in our church. And Mr. Bowman and I have been praying and talking and discussing what we can do. We hope to mention this on Tuesday evening at our board meeting. I'm not sure we'll come to any particular conclusions, but I would ask everybody in this church to pray. And to pray as never before that we as a church and we as individuals fit this text. The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And that God may make us his instrument. And in the sovereignty of God, he may do different things. Or he may do the old thing over again. Or what we have tried 10 times, he may bless the 11th time. May please God to do so. But what we can't afford to do is do nothing. What we can't afford to do is to allow the world to perish while the church is silent. We need to pray that God will make us that tree of life and to really be his instrument to win souls. Now, if there's someone here today and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, could I just take a moment to say to you that if we are burdened for the community around us, we're burdened for you too. And there are names that come up in our prayer meetings of this church, and we do pray for souls. Maybe you would like us to add your name to that list and say, "Would you pray for me because I need to be saved? I realize that I need to be one to the Lord." And you know, souls are like fish. They're very slippery. They don't get caught deliberately. They tend to shy away. They tend to go the other direction. But this is not a trap. This is for the salvation of your soul. And if I may end where I began, if I represent the Lord Jesus Christ and I come knocking your door, I pray that by some means you will listen and that you will take an interest and that you will accept the Savior rather than just say, "I'm not interested." What if the gospel's right and you're wrong? You have all eternity to lose out. Maybe that's what the salesman would say to you. What if you never get another opportunity to buy this product again? This is the closing day of the final sale. Never again. Salesman's talk. I can say to you now, you have the opportunity of salvation today. And if you accept the Lord as your Savior, where you are right now, you can be saved. I cannot promise you anything tomorrow. I could be dead. You could be dead. I cannot promise you anything tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I do know that eternity is real. I do know there's life after death. I do know that Jesus is the Son of God. I do know that he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I do know that he said that he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you're not saved, that's your state right now. And you need salvation. You need to be won over from a life of godliness, godlessness, to trusting and living for the Lord Jesus. And eternity will prove, as the Bible states it right here, these are wise words. Wise words. Refuse them at your destruction, my friend, and lose your soul. Accept them. What a blessing it will bring. Let's unite in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we ask for your grace today to speak to our hearts, to minister to us in all our needs. We pray that thou will draw near to us and help us to love thee and to serve thee, that we may realize that thou hast called us to be a tree of life, to be pointers, living examples of the Lord Jesus. Forgive us wherein we fail. O God, we pray that thou wilt be pleased to use these words to stir us up to the work thou hast called us to and to save some soul here today. Have mercy, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.